When Archbishop Desmond Tutu received his Nobel Peace Prize in 1984, he didn't stand alone on that prestigious stage. Instead, he invited 50 friends and family from around the world to share in his moment of triumph. This wasn't mere generosity, it was Ubuntu in action. The South African philosophy, tattooed on his granddaughter Mungi Ngomane's wrist, represents one of Africa's greatest gifts to humanity, the understanding that I am because you are. Unlike Western self-help approaches that direct us inward for answers, Ubuntu teaches that our humanity is inextricably bound up in others. This revolutionary perspective has guided peace processes, reconciliation efforts after apartheid, and continues to offer profound wisdom in our increasingly disconnected world. Endorsed by global leaders and peace activists, everyday Ubuntu has become essential reading for those seeking to build bridges across divides and reconnect with their fundamental humanity in an age of isolation. Ubuntu's fundamental principle is deceptively simple yet profoundly transformative. If we see ourselves reflected in others, we inevitably treat people better. This goes far deeper than mere kindness. It recognizes every human's inherent worth and dignity. During South Africa's anti-apartheid movement, this principle guided activists to seek equality for all South Africans rather than being anti-white. The philosophy rejects the myth of the self-made individual, teaching instead that we are who we are thanks to countless relationships that have shaped our journey. Consider how many people contributed to making you who you are today. Parents who taught you to walk and talk, teachers who expanded your mind, friends who stood by you in difficult times, even challenging relationships that helped you grow. Ubuntu acknowledges this web of connection and invites us to view our world through eyes of equality and gratitude. This perspective transforms how we interact with everyone we encounter. When we practice Ubuntu, we look beyond people's roles to see their humanity, whether they're begging on the street or cleaning public restrooms. We recognize that everyone deserves dignity simply because they exist. The antithesis of Ubuntu is believing that greed and individualism lead to success. Yet even those who harm others ultimately suffer consequences, as demonstrated by white South Africans during apartheid who became prisoners in their own gated communities, living behind high walls with electric fences, afraid of the very people they oppressed. Nelson Mandela beautifully explained Ubuntu's essence through the example of a traveler who stops at a village and receives food and entertainment without asking. That is one aspect of Ubuntu, he said, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not enrich themselves. The question, therefore, is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to improve? We can practice Ubuntu daily through simple acts, connecting mindfully with strangers by looking them in the eye, smiling genuinely, saying thank you with enthusiasm. We should also notice our judgments of others and quietly let them go, as judging serves only to cast people into likely inaccurate roles, shutting down our capacity for compassion and increasing our isolation. United we stand, divided we fall, isn't just a catchy phrase. It's a fundamental truth that Ubuntu embraces wholeheartedly. Modern life often encourages individualism and isolation, with many adults spending working lives staring at computer screens with minimal face-to-face interaction. This digital isolation contrasts sharply with traditional African community values, where cooperation isn't just beneficial, it's essential for survival. The African proverb, "It takes a village to raise a child," reflects this understanding that a unified community creates strength. Everyone counts, everyone contributes, and together we accomplish far more than we could individually. While society often values higher socioeconomic standing, research consistently shows wealth doesn't equate to happiness. Cameron Anderson's studies suggest true contentment comes from respect and admiration from others, not money and status. Ironically, wealth can actually worsen behavior. One study found luxury car drivers were 4 times less likely to yield to pedestrians than drivers of less expensive vehicles. Meanwhile, loneliness has reached epidemic proportions despite our digital connectivity. Research shows it increases mortality risk by 26%, comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Unity, by contrast, brings mental well-being and can effect powerful change against seemingly insurmountable odds. History demonstrates this repeatedly. Gandhi's 1930 Salt March began with a small group but grew to hundreds of thousands, eventually contributing to India's freedom from colonial rule. Martin Luther King Jr.'s 1963 I Have a Dream speech before 250,000 protesters became a turning point in America's civil rights movement. In 1989, Archbishop Tutu led 30,000 people in an anti-apartheid march through Cape Town during a state of emergency when large gatherings were forbidden. Social media has connected us globally, enabling movements like #MeToo, Bring Back Our Girls, and Black Lives Matter to gain phenomenal reach. In times of trauma, we instinctively seek togetherness. Standing shoulder to shoulder, physically and spiritually, sends a powerful message. I am sad because you are sad. We are one. This unity diminishes terror and reminds us there are far more good people than bad in the world. Ordinary people demonstrate extraordinary power when united. In Perth, commuters collectively pushed a train to free a man's trapped leg. When Carly Weber was paralyzed after breaking her neck, her village community raised money for her therapy, giving her strength she never knew she had and helping her regain movement doctors thought impossible. If you believe something is unfair or unjust, others likely feel the same. Speaking up often reveals you're not a lone voice, but one of many. Most people share fundamental desires: justice, peace, good health, safety, and prosperity. The key is not surrendering to apathy, which kills democracy and erodes collective responsibility. As murdered British MP Joe Cox said, "We are far more united and have far more in common than that which divides us." Ubuntu invites us to drop judgments and embrace compassion by considering others' perspectives, even when we strongly disagree with them. This practice transforms how we respond to conflict and misunderstanding in profound ways. My mother demonstrated this principle even during apartheid's darkest days. While witnessing the oppression of Black people in Soweto firsthand, she still asked herself, "Would I stand up against apartheid if I were white?" She understood how easy it would be to accept privilege if you'd been socialized to believe in white supremacy. Most people with privilege, whether racial, social, economic, or gender-based, accept it as a right because it's all they know. It's human nature to accept the status quo when we benefit from it. This doesn't mean excusing harmful behavior, but rather understanding its context. When I was studying abroad, my roommate stole my friend's jewelry. Instead of confronting her immediately, my mother advised me to calm down and seek the other side of the story. During our conversation, my roommate admitted taking the jewelry, but also revealed her struggles with an impulse disorder and bulimia. She was fighting a battle nobody knew about. As Ian McLaren wisely said, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle." Seeing things from another's perspective isn't easy, especially when you have nothing in common or have been hurt by them. My grandfather often said, "If you want peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies." The Tutu Foundation in the UK created Conversations for Change to encourage dialogue between opposing community groups. Their Ubuntu Youth Project has successfully improved relationships between police and disaffected youths through structured conversations that introduce teenagers to considering others' viewpoints. A remarkable example came from a teenager in our program who arrived with a bandage on his neck after being stabbed in an unprovoked attack. Rather than seeking revenge, he said, "I've decided not to hold a grudge because I have no idea what the guy who did this was going through that day." This demonstrates Ubuntu at its finest, understanding it wasn't a personal attack and recognizing the tough circumstances that might have contributed to the violence. South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission embodied this principle on a national scale. Rather than following the punitive Nuremberg trials model after apartheid ended, South African leaders chose a restorative justice approach where all parties could share their experiences. This allowed South Africans to hear the full story of apartheid from both sides, creating a common history essential for healing. The Beals, whose daughter Amy was murdered by four black men who were later pardoned, remarkably forgave her killers and established a foundation against violence in her name. They achieved this by truly understanding the circumstances that shaped her killers' actions, how systemic dehumanization had enabled them to see Amy as a symbol rather than a person. The TRC encouraged but never forced forgiveness, recognizing it must come from genuinely walking in another's shoes. Ubuntu teaches us to actively look at the world from multiple perspectives to gain complete understanding. Like astronauts experiencing the overview effect when seeing Earth as a fragile blue marble without borders, we can choose to seek the bigger picture in any situation. This wider perspective allows us to recognize the stories that shape what we and others see, enabling compassion and progress. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission embodied this principle by gathering testimonies across South Africa, from small towns to major cities. By welcoming everyone's perspective, even those imprisoned for crimes, South Africa put Ubuntu into action, purging its wounds publicly while granting amnesty to those who acted politically. This painful process was designed to heal divisions and build national unity by acknowledging all who called South Africa home. Choosing to see the bigger picture helps transform anger into understanding and hatred into compassion, allowing personal growth instead of remaining trapped in self-righteousness. During Rwanda's 1994 genocide, an estimated 800,000 Tutsis were killed by Hutu extremists in just 100 days. Christophe Banyangabo, who lost his father and brothers in this violence, returned to Rwanda bitter and hateful. At a church service, he heard how both communities were suffering. Hutus had fled during revenge killings after a Tutsi rebel group overthrew the government. This revelation helped Christophe see that pain belonged to both ethnic groups. Working with Tear Fund, he established a group bringing survivors and offenders together, helping neighbors who hadn't spoken for 22 years find forgiveness. He also developed peace clubs in high schools to teach children about the genocide, believing that understanding the wider perspective would help prevent history from repeating itself. It's all too easy to remain stuck in our views and opinions, but freedom comes when we choose to look for the wider perspective. Studies show our brains can actually dehumanize others, creating a bystander effect. The Tutu Foundation works with British Transport Police to help officers understand others' life experiences rather than jumping to conclusions. By asking why someone has made certain choices, we open ourselves to compassion. Carol Dweck's research on fixed versus growth mindsets shows we can change our viewpoints at any age. To gain perspective, step back from situations, ask others for their viewpoints, practice gratitude for what you have, and try new experiences from unfamiliar cultures. These practices help us see beyond our limited perspective and embrace the rich complexity of human experience. Perhaps the most crucial underlying principle of Ubuntu is respect, both for oneself and for other people. When I dehumanize you, I inexorably dehumanize myself. Self-care isn't selfish. It's essential if we're going to have room for others. Ubuntu means believing in other people regardless of who they are, while also believing in ourselves. Just as airplane passengers must put on their own oxygen masks before helping others, we must care for ourselves to be of service. My mother learned this lesson when witnessing Nobel Peace Prize winner Betty Williams politely decline to rush, explaining she needed rest to perform well. This embodied Ubuntu, creating respectful boundaries that work for oneself and others. Seeking help often feels like weakness in our individualistic culture, but Ubuntu recognizes interdependence as strength. The phrase, pull oneself up by one's bootstraps, reinforces self-reliance, causing people to suffer needlessly. But before people can help, they must see your need. Many actually enjoy helping others. It makes them feel wanted and good about themselves. Dignity empowers us to recognize one another's humanity. In Soweto, my mother recalls a butcher shop where every customer, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, received the same respectful welcome. The staff looked each person in the eye, smiled, and sincerely asked about their day. Word spread about this treatment, and people came specifically to spend money where Ubuntu was part of the service. Customers would say, "These people are truly people," as the staff embodied Ubuntu in every interaction. When we afford dignity and respect to others, we should avoid labels that reinforce prejudices. Labels pigeonhole people into categories that can be difficult to escape. For example, saying a person experiencing homelessness rather than a homeless person acknowledges that homelessness is a situation, not an identity. Stigma often attaches to labels affecting survivors of abuse or people living with AIDS. We must look beyond what we first see and be mindful of the labels we place on others. Ubuntu and dignity can emerge in unexpected places. During the 2014 Ebola crisis in Sierra Leone, charities helped organize burial teams so families could lay loved ones to rest with dignity when authorities prohibited traditional burials. Religious leaders worked together across faiths to provide proper funerals. Ultimately, giving ourselves and others dignity provides comfort and empowerment. When people have dignity, they feel empowered and can empower others in turn. Every day we're bombarded with news of terrible things people do, but a far greater number of good deeds happen that rarely make headlines. The choice to look for the basic good in humanity means you're more likely to find it, and this perspective transforms how we interact with the world. The author shares a story of visiting Palestine and staying with a woman named Sala, whose husband and sons had been imprisoned unjustly. Despite these hardships, Sala maintained kindness and goodness, welcoming strangers into her home and sharing what little she had. Finding the good in others often starts by seeking common ground. Lord Peter Hayne, who worked on Northern Ireland's peace process, found that building trust required finding points of human connection beyond political tensions, like discussing shared interests in gardening with Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams. Children and young people can teach us to see the good in others through their natural energy, innocence, and acceptance. 7-year-old Anu returned to school with a new pink sports blade after losing her leg as a baby. Her classmates briefly expressed amazement at her prosthetic, but then immediately included her in playground games, easily accepting her difference. Young people possess natural positivity and energy to drive positive change, which is why the Tutu Foundation primarily works with youth in struggling communities. The Ubuntu Roundtable Project brought together police officers and young people to break down stereotypes and find common ground. Created by a teenager named Blair who had experienced police profiling, the initiative created safe spaces for dialogue where both sides could see the humanity in each other. Police officers shared personal stories, including traumatic experiences on the job, which helped young people recognize their humanity. Blair acknowledged, "Police are just normal humans with feelings." Similarly, officers gained new understanding of youth perspectives, creating mutual empathy and connection despite initial wariness from both sides. Nelson Mandela exemplified Ubuntu by befriending his prison guard, Christo Brand, on Robben Island. Despite being imprisoned, Mandela treated Brand with respect and dignity, asking about his life and finding common ground. This approach transformed Brand's views on race and apartheid, proving that seeing good in others can create profound change. Our brains have a natural negativity bias that directs our attention toward threats and problems. The reticular activating system focuses our attention on whatever we consistently notice, whether positive or negative. By intentionally looking for good in others, we retrain our minds to find more positive qualities. The Yoruba proverb, "If you damage the character of another, you damage your own," reminds us that judging others harms ourselves. To practice Ubuntu, see good in yourself first, as self-criticism often projects onto others. Try to understand those you dislike by considering their circumstances, and smile more, a simple yet powerful way to connect with others and signal openness to finding good in people. Lesson 7 explores the distinction between hope and optimism, with Archbishop Tutu advocating for hope as the more powerful concept. While optimism is a fleeting feeling based on circumstances, hope represents a deeper trust and faith that persists even in darkness. Hope is what sustains us through adversity when optimism might fade. Ubuntu acknowledges life's difficulties while affirming our shared humanity and worthiness of light even in suffering. Hope provides essential strength during peace processes and social change. Lord Peter Hain recalls how Tony Blair's absolutely unshakable belief in resolving the Northern Ireland conflict contributed significantly to the Good Friday Agreement. On a smaller scale, Magnus McFarlane Barrow's hope-driven aid work in Bosnia eventually led to creating Mary's Meals, a charity now feeding over 1.4 million children daily across 18 countries. This transformation began when Magnus met Edward, a boy in Malawi whose simple hope was to have enough to eat and to go to school one day. Hope naturally emerges when we invite Ubuntu into our lives, as others inspire us to seek the positive. We see hope in action through marriage, having children, and charitable work. Dr. Valerie Mahomes' research revealed that hope was the common factor among poor children who succeeded in life. Even in extreme conditions, hope sustains us. Nelson Mandela, despite spending 27 years in prison under abysmal conditions, never abandoned hope, famously saying, "Hope is a powerful weapon even when all else is lost." Similarly, Anthony Ray Hinton survived 30 years on death row as an innocent man by choosing hope over despair, writing that, "Hope was a choice, faith was a choice, and more than anything, love was a choice." Hope empowers us by allowing us to project into a better future, making present difficulties seem temporary. This positive imagination provides relief when nothing else can improve our situation. Brian Stevenson, who works with prisoners through his Equal Justice Initiative, references Vaclav Havel's description of hope as an orientation of the spirit that creates willingness to position oneself in hopeless places and believe in a better future despite abusive power. When all seems lost, we can find hope by accepting our situation, taking action by changing negative self-talk to positive, living in the present moment, writing gratitude lists, setting small achievable goals, and finding something in which to place our faith. Hope isn't blind optimism, but a deep commitment to possibility, even in darkness. Lesson 8 explores how seeking connection with others embodies Ubuntu when we feel isolated or disconnected. Rather than withdrawing during difficult times, we should reach out to humanity for comfort. Art serves as a powerful medium for connection, dating back to prehistoric cave paintings that seem to reach across time. Music, literature, and visual arts can articulate feelings we struggle to express verbally and lift our spirits when we feel low. Music and singing create powerful connections between people while improving health. Scientific research shows choir singing increases oxygen levels, boosts immunity, lowers blood pressure, regulates hormones, and even helps stroke victims heal. Oxford University research found that active music performance generates endorphins that elevate pain thresholds, which is why choir participation is recommended for mental health issues. Sports similarly create unity and belonging. Football alone connects approximately 4 billion global fans. A Nottingham Trent University study confirmed the link between happiness and group associations like sports teams or choirs, with sports fandom often spanning generations within families, providing lifelong connections. Reading connects us to bigger ideas and teaches us about the wider world. Literature shows us that human experiences across centuries remain fundamentally unchanged, from Jane Austen's insights on love to Shakespeare's explorations of betrayal. Popular books transcend time and space because they speak universally to the human condition. As Mandela said, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. The Tuta Desk Company exemplifies this principle by providing portable desks to African schoolchildren without classroom furniture, already showing improved literacy results by creating connected learning environments even in challenging settings. Nature universally connects humans through shared sensory experiences like stargazing or ocean waves. Studies consistently show that natural environments improve our well-being. Even hospital patients shown nature scenes require less pain medication. The beach offers both exhilaration and perspective, reminding us we're part of something larger. Gardening provides physical exercise, creativity, and mental health benefits through sunshine exposure. Whether through social connections or quiet or natural experiences, Ubuntu teaches that feeling connected is essential for contentment. Journal writing, clear communication, embracing vulnerability, and creative activities can all help us rediscover our connections when feeling isolated. The key is reaching outward rather than withdrawing when life becomes challenging. Forgiveness means different things to different people. For minor incidents, it might be a simple one-time choice, but for deeper wrongs, forgiveness becomes a journey requiring multiple decisions and considerable courage. Ubuntu teaches that forgiveness restores our dignity and self-respect while freeing us from isolation with our pain. Whether religiously motivated or not, forgiveness benefits us psychologically, though it remains one of life's most difficult practices. Pride and self-righteousness often prevent forgiveness, especially when the offender shows no remorse. While temporary anger might be justified, holding on to past hurts, betrayals, parental failures, criminal acts only harms ourselves. As Maya Angelou noted, bitterness is like a cancer. It eats upon the host. When we refuse to forgive, we remain trapped in our painful past, reliving hurts and potentially becoming suspicious of everyone. Since we can't change past events or often take revenge, we suffer by continually reopening wounds. Ingrid von Stein, former communications director for the Desmond Tutu Peace Center, faced the challenge of forgiving four youths who brutally attacked her in the 1980s. After conversations with Archbishop Tutu, who encouraged her to see her attackers as people too, she agreed to meet them in prison. Upon meeting the first attacker, she was surprised to discover similarities in their backgrounds. Both had experienced abuse as children. Through these encounters, Ingrid found herself feeling compassion for her attackers, which eventually transformed into forgiveness. She later described this forgiveness as a relief that made traveling through life a much lighter experience and a pleasure once again. Forgiveness must come from within, authentic and respectful, never forced. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission exemplified transparency on an unprecedented scale, showing that complete truth is necessary for forgiveness to take hold. Research shows forgiveness improves health by reducing anger and resentment that weaken our immune system and increase risk of PTSD. Simply put, forgiveness helps us to live happier, healthier lives. When struggling to forgive, look to others for inspiration. Nelson Mandela exemplified this by inviting his former jailer to his presidential inauguration dinner. In Rwanda, the Cows for Peace project became a powerful symbol of reconciliation after genocide survivors and perpetrators worked together caring for cows, which represented wealth and prosperity in Rwandan culture. This cooperation helped neighbors who hadn't spoken for decades to reconnect. Self-forgiveness is equally important. We must embrace our humanity and recognize that mistakes are part of being human. The journey toward forgiveness involves forgiving yourself first, considering the benefits, working toward forgiving others, accepting the time it takes, and persisting through difficulties.